You always heard silence is golden, so I thought I'd give you some golden time before I got started here. It's kind of hard to follow what I get to follow from Sunday. For those of you who were not here, you missed a treat, but, well, Bubba, I don't have nothing to follow up with you there, sir, so I'm going to have to do the best I can. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for the blessings of the day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. But Father, tonight, especially, we thank you for our glorious salvation. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I just pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that everything that is said and done would bring glory to your name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Last time I spoke, I started on 1 Peter, so if you will, be turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the last time I spoke, we went through verse 9, so I'm going to do a recap real quick. 1 Peter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as to the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So Peter's writing to Jewish believers who have been dispersed throughout the Asia Minor in these areas I've talked to you about. I mentioned Pontus and, Galatia, Bithynia. These are Jewish believers who have suffered persecution, and they have had to leave because of the pressures from Rome. So he's writing to them, and he's talking to them, and he's explaining because of their salvation that we have an inheritance like them. We have an inheritance, and it's not stored here at Fort Knox. Thank God it's stored in heaven. And he's talking about our salvation. Now picking up with verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you and me. And these things which now we have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look, Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter's talking about, he's writing to these believers who have been persecuted. Their lives have been turned upside down, kind of like some of us recently with everything that's going on in the world today. It seems like maybe our lives have been turned upside down on its head and shaken. But he's reminding them, and I'm trying to remind you tonight, that our salvation is in heaven. Our salvation is eternal. No matter what happens, we're secure in his hands. The word says, no one can snatch us from our Father. And I pray that each one of us tonight is in that situation, that we have experienced this salvation. In preparing for this message, I was doing a lot of studying in different areas, and I came across a sermon. I was looking, it's through Grace to You, MacArthur's sermon, and I'm speaking a lot tonight through that. He wrote a whole lot of things that it was too deep for my shallow mind. Dr. Jeff, you could get up here and do it, but I'm still not quite there. But it was a lot of things in this that really touched me, and I just want to share some up to you. Peter is saying, as I said, when everything has gone wrong in your life, there's nothing in the way that you would prefer to be looked at, the blessedness of our salvation. There is nothing on this earth greater than our salvation. I started to ask a question, and I kind of got ahead of it, but if I were to ask each one of you, what is your greatest possession? What is your greatest possession? I've already told you what the answer is. But if I had asked you that before I told you what the answer was, it might be interesting to see. Go out tomorrow morning and go to the cafe or wherever you go and ask your coworkers. I'm going to ask you a question. What's your greatest possession? See what kind of answers you get. You'll get a lot of answers. Salvation may not be the one that you get. But the truth of the matter is, there is nothing, nothing more precious than our salvation. And he's saying that this was the theme of the prophets. And that's what I'm going to try to pick up here. It was revealed. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. So can you imagine being one of those prophets? And you know the Old Testament. You've got the Old Testament. You're writing the Old Testament. You know that that we are sinners. You know the Bible says that we are sinners. You know the Bible says that we were lost, and that God, we go back to the flood, and we know that he had to destroy the world because it was nothing but wickedness. In Genesis, we read this. And we know that the prophets were prophesying of things that's going to take place in the future. I've tried to visualize that. I hadn't picked on anybody yet, so I'm going to try to say, Jeremiah, if you had to predict, we just had a football game Saturday that turned out the way we wanted it to, and the home team won. But now, If I had to ask you to predict, okay, tell me who's going to win the game in 2047 between whoever, you'd be scratching your head because you can't see that. We don't know what's going to happen then. But these prophets are writing. They're searching diligently. They're searching the scriptures that they had helped write and that others have written. And they're wanting to know who, what, when all of this is going to take place. And they're searching, and they're not just searching passively. The scripture says, as to the grace, they searched diligently. They searched with, they inquired, they wanted to know the answers to these questions. So what time, and who are we right about, and when is this going to happen? They knew from reading their own, what they knew that, for instance, that Abraham was justified by faith. They knew Noah found faith in the eyes of the Lord. They knew that God was a God of grace, a God that loves us. And they knew that he says in his word, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion unto whom I will show compassion. They knew that salvation was based on God's undeserved blessings, an unearned favor. God's forgiving of sin, God's mercy. That's the God they understood. They knew the God they knew. That's all over the Old Testament. So the prophets are most concerned with the subject of salvation. And they know it has to be by grace. And they know there's going to be one who will provide that salvation. But what do they know about this person? They know that Messiah according to verse 11, will suffer and will also be glorified. They know he will suffer. Psalm 22 even describes the details of his crucifixion and death. They knew that he would suffer. Isaiah 53, and I wanted to read Isaiah 53. Very familiar. But to the prophets, pick it up in verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities. The chastisement of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. So the prophets knew this. The prophets have read this. They understood this as they're looking, searching diligently. So they knew that there was a Messiah coming. And they knew he would suffer, but they also knew he would triumph. They knew he would crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3, we read. They knew he would be a king with a rod who would destroy the nations. They knew he would be an everlasting king. And they knew that he would reign over the whole earth. They knew all of this. They just didn't know who, and they just didn't know when. Now turn it back to 1 Peter. So verse 11 says, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he was predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I'm going to read that again. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ. Now, this is the prophets of the Old Testament. And we're talking about the Spirit of Christ. For those, there were some that would think that Christ didn't show up until the New Testament. But this clearly states that the Holy Spirit within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Let me ask you, how important is salvation to each one of you? How important should salvation be to us? We're looking at these prophets, and they were looking down a quarter of time. They were looking down at the future. And we know the answer because we're living in the area of the church age of grace. But the question MacArthur says, how important should the doctrines of salvation be to us? These people were great, the prophets were. And then in Hebrews 11, he writes, the writer of Hebrews writes, what more shall I say to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, the women who received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings, scourgings, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in half, tempted, put to death with a sword, went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Who were these prophets? Who were these people that I just described? They're the same people who searched what they wrote to understand the greatness of salvation. Why did they do this? Because they lived in faith. And all of these prophets, Hebrews 11, verse 39, having gained approval through their faith, didn't receive what was promised. They all died before the promise was fulfilled because God had provided something better for us. Wow. Why should I focus on my salvation, the greatness of my salvation? Because I have something better than even the prophets for whom this was a lifelong obsession. And the question is the glory of your salvation a lifelong obsession for you? When I read that, I've got to be honest, I fell way short. I felt really small when I read that. Next, it tells us in verse 11, seeking to know what person time, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit within them was indicating. So it is the theme of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Because it was important to the Holy Spirit who inspired them. The prophets wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So says everything that the prophets wrote in the Old Testament, everything they knew about salvation was given to them by the Holy Spirit. Again, one of the things I need to work on is to be more focused on the Spirit's guidance and asking for the guidance of the Spirit. But these prophets, they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were prophesying of the grace that would come because the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, was communicating, predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories that followed. The Holy Spirit was revealing the sufferings of Christ in Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, Daniel 9, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 13. They were prophesying about his suffering and about his glory because that was the message of the Holy Spirit. So that's why the prophets were prophesying. The two things were the theme of the Old Testament prophecy about his glory and because his suffering and his glory. And it says, and where did the prophets get the scriptures? What they wrote down. No scripture, Peter says, comes by private interpretation, but holy men are moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture, says Paul, is inspired by God, is by the inspiration of God, Spirit-breathed. It is the Spirit of Christ within them, indicating the predictions about his suffering and his glory. And then we go on to verse 12. Verse 12 says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look into. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. Again, that's pretty humbling to think that these men and women, these people that wrote all of this, that they were doing all of this not for themselves, but for us. That's pretty amazing to think of what they did and all the time, all the efforts that they put into the studying of the scriptures. Because salvation was so great, they wanted to know all they could know about it. They wanted to know as much as they could. They knew there would be a Savior. They knew there would be a Messiah. They just didn't know who and when all this would take place. And we know that the Holy Spirit was guiding them and directing them. But then it goes on and it says, in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel. So now, the Messiah has come. The Lord Jesus has come. He has lived his perfect sinless life. He has been crucified, dead and buried, and risen again. And now, the apostles have written the gospel and preached the gospel. And that's where we get back to our believers who have been dispersed. They've heard the gospel preached by the apostles. And they know the end of the story. They know the who and they know the when. And that's something that we also have. Says the prophets saw Messiah with clarity. They saw him with accuracy because that's how the Holy Spirit revealed him. The apostles, they preached the gospel and things, the fact of who, the facts of when, the details of the fulfillment of the Old Testament salvation prophecy. And many of these, they get said they gave their lives to preach this message. And it's interesting, it says they didn't preach social justice, they didn't preach away, they preached the gospel. It says, "Why, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God into salvation." The question is, how blessed is the salvation to us? How blessed is the salvation to each one of us? That's the question that I'm asking tonight. And everything that I've talked about regarding salvation makes an assumption, doesn't it? That assumption is, you've received salvation. I've stumbled and I've fumbled and I've bumbled tonight, and I apologize for that. But I'm going to get this last point right. And that is, that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, whether they're in this auditorium or hearing me through YouTube, my prayer tonight is that you don't go to sleep tonight without asking the Lord to be your Savior. Because without salvation, nothing on this earth really matters. There's nothing that comes close, nothing that can compare to it. And so that would be my prayer. And then it goes on to say, interesting enough, I thought this was pretty interesting. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, and these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And oftentimes we read our Bibles too fast and kind of go over that. So I was curious, things into which angels long to look. You know, the angels were there protecting. The angels were there giving the announcement to Mary and Joseph. And then the readings, and J. Vernon McGee, I was doing some study on him, and Dr. McGee had said that the angels were saying to him, if they could, they would tell him, "You need to get out of the way, McGee. You're not emphasizing the salvation, how wonderful, how glorious this truly is, enough." And they would love to come down here and do it themselves, but God won't let them because we're in the ministry of grace. But it's interesting to think about them standing up here looking down at me, fumbling and bumbling and mumbling right now, knowing how wonderful the salvation is that I'm trying to talk about. But tonight, again, the bottom line is, where are we? Are we where we need to be? Are we where we need to be in our Bible study? Do we appreciate the salvation that we've been given by grace like we should? So my prayer tonight is that each one of us would take this, go back and read it, improve our prayer life, and be the witnesses, be the lights that we need to be in a very dark world that's going on right now. And no one knows when he's coming back. But one thing's for sure, with all the signs, we need to be getting ready, and we need to be telling others about our glorious salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercy, your grace, your love. But Father, we mostly thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank you that it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, but it was his love for his love for me, his love for each one of us here in this auditorium, and for all of those who can hear my voice tonight. Father, I just pray if there is one who hasn't made that decision, that tonight would be the night that they would accept your son's death and burial and resurrection, that they would accept his payment of the debt they could not pay, that they would accept him as their Savior. Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we just pray that you would just be with each one of us here tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.